over here. Hey.
Meanwhile, back at the Jets ranch.
Now you got it.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Robert Sala confirming Aaron Rodgers will indeed get his first preseason action.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Do you think they're going to put him in a position that something bad's going to happen?
Anything can happen.
Did you see Joe Burrow?
Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer Steve Young. Coming up, Texans linebacker Will Anderson. NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Will Anderson, the third overall pick in this year's draft, is going to be joining us in the middle of this hour. He's on a practice field for the Houston Texans right now. Houston Texans getting set to open the season at the Baltimore Ravens. Welcome to the NFL, C.J. Stroud, everybody. And the Ravens are salty, having lost their 24-game preseason winning streak.
Record will never be broken.
That is not the week one storyline, by the way. That is not it. But at any rate, Will Anderson is going to join us. Ian Rappaport, top of hour number three. He is going to tell us what is going on with Jonathan Taylor. Why have we gotten to this point in time? Is Josh Jacobs going to come in from the cold? Chris Jones tweeted out in response to a fan that if the Chiefs don't pay him, week eight, he will just hold out in the middle of the season and show up at the last possible minute for his contract to remain on target for him to get out of there, I guess, is the point. Week eight
is when
you're going to show up, is what a fan asked. Week eight.
Yikes.
We'll talk about that in hour number three, because in hour number three, the first of eight straight days on this program, where we will predict a division, and the AFC West is up first. That's in hour number three after Ian Rappaport joins us on this show to give us the 411 on all of that. Okay. As you know, I'm on record that I'm genuinely concerned Aaron Rodgers is going to play football this weekend.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I think that's a fair feeling to have.
That right now, he appears very healthy. And that's the way I want him to be the first Monday night of the season when he's getting set to take on the Buffalo Bills. But he knows best about what makes it work for him. And so far, so good. He wants to do it. He wants to take on the Giants. He wants to suit up. That was part of the Hard Knocks. Episode 3 is Hot Mike caught him saying on the sideline of the second preseason week that he's playing this week, right?
Yeah, Robert Sala said it. Like, oh, yeah, we're going to play the big guy on week 3.
Well, the big guy spoke yesterday on the subject matter of why he's suiting up and playing in a preseason game for the first time since 2018.
Yeah, I mean, there's always that risk reward. I think over the years, it just hasn't made sense based on a number of different factors. But I used to enjoy playing the preseason back in my younger years, just to kind of maybe take that first hit or feel the kind of the nerves in the first drive. So I look forward to being out there. It was not much of a conversation with Robert. I think he was a little more nervous. I might have said no. But I was already leaning towards asking him to play, so it was an easy conversation. And I'm not sure how long it's going to be, but it'll be good to be out there with the guys. And obviously, there's been some shuffling around, some of our front back in today at practice. It kind of looked the way things were trending the past week or so. So it'd be nice to be out there with those five.
Let's not take the first hit. Let's not take any hit. In his younger days, wanted to take the first hit. Sounds good. First hit comes in week one Monday night. I want to see boots, but not too much. Don't run too hard. I want to see play fake and three-step drops. God.
First hit could be the last hit.
He's talking about shifting offensive line and that he does believe that the line is suddenly coming into play the way it's supposed. Like, if they're still working on it and they're still tinkering, or injuries are causing the tinkering to happen, or they're still gelling, let's have the let's have someone else be behind the gelling. Let's have a gel and let's have them out there. But I understand the idea that the first time he does it, helmet on, new spot, pads on, new spot, helmet, pads on, new spot behind new line, that you don't want it to happen on Monday Night Football against the Buffalo Bills. So I understand that, and that's what the guy wants. That's what the coach wants. That's what they think is best. But can we come up with a, like, don't, can he put on a red jersey? Can we do that? Yeah, that's the one I want him wearing on Saturday night in the Snoopy Bowl. He should just come out in that and see, you know, if NFL operations will let it fly. And he'll just say, hey, my socks are the right length. What do you care? I got everything else right.
It's socks is like, what, 5 or 10 grand? I don't know. Find?
It's Kayvon, still so weird,
dude,
seeing
we're gonna
him.
Put, we're gonna put him behind a gelling line and okay, Kayvon Thibodeau, is he gonna play? We're going to do that?
I think if I was him, I'd want to play now.
You know what I thought to myself? When I did my top five list of second-year players going to make the leap, I left him off, and I think that's a mistake.
Yeah, he's going to take that into effect. When,
I think, no, I don't think he knows or cares.
Oh, he knows, trust me.
I don't think I move that needle for anybody,
watches,
to be honest with you.
I don't know, Rich.
I appreciate that.
Saying,
no, you guys are. No, you're right. You're right. I'm very influential.
Look at you. You're 25 years in the game.
We're almost at 600,000 YouTube subscribers.
Oh, my bad, 26.
Actually, 27. Well, I mean, including my
days in Reading.
Yeah, my days in Reading.
If you want to include that, it's 29. You think Kayvon Thibodeau doesn't know that you didn't put him on your list?
Well, I mean, he went to the University of Oregon, and I did my first TV work in a in Reading, California, with an affiliate in Medford, Oregon. So it's entirely possible that before his parents even thought of having Kayvon, that they were watching me do local sports in Northern California. Yes. These are all, you're right. I'm very influential.
What if Kayvon's dad played for one of those football teams?
That's true.
That you
no, you're right. By the way, I should have thought that myself. Yeah.
This is my 19th year, in case anyone cares.
I don't count.
Well, you're...
I'm old.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry.
So, Rodgers is going to play. Very good.
Maybe they'll have a gentleman's agreement, Rich. That
yeah, two-hand touch.
Won't just, like, smash him.
Two-hand touch
just,
for Rodgers.
Lay him down just, real nice,
I got
pick
you.
Him up,
Zach.
Put him to bed.
Just two-hand touch. Tuck him in.
Jerry Jones says that he's fine with the running back room the way it is.
Yeah.
Very comfortable with it is what he said. Quote unquote, very comfortable.
Interesting.
Do you want him? Do you want Jonathan Taylor?
Who wouldn't?
Excuse me.
You want him for $14 million a year?
Do you want him knowing what it would require to give up
$40 million
guaranteed? And knowing that, you know, there is less pie, to use his phrase.
It takes a nice chunk out of the pie.
It would. Do you want him?
At that price, we got to pay Micah. You know, we got to pay Micah.
Micah's got to be the highest paid defender.
Yeah. So,
right.
Well, Micah's rooting for Nick Bosa, if that's what you're asking.
And Chris Jones. And-
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So the way, Rich, our bank account is set up, I don't know that we'd be able to move those funds around to pay Jonathan. Mm-hmm. I'd love to have him, but yeah.
Jerry's worth $10 billion. Figure it out.
That doesn't matter, as you know.
It should.
Everybody's working together. I mean.
I know, but still.
You know, everybody's very rich in the NFL.
Yeah.
Most everybody's rich in the NFL.
Most everybody's pretty rich.
Yeah. Okay.
Wealthy.
So, in theory, Rich, I would love to have him on the Cowboys. But in reality, I don't.
Let me tell you something about the Dallas Cowboys and the running backs and what I saw last night. This documentary that's coming out on the Roku channel on Friday called NFL Draft, The Pick is In. NFL Films embedded themselves in the Carolina draft room, the Jacksonville draft room. They embedded themselves in the draft room of the Colts and the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh.
And what I saw from the Dallas Cowboys on this documentary, it is it was, it seemed, very collaborative. Mm-hmm. Jerry goes around the room and asks everybody their opinion of the players that they are about to pick. They're about to be on the clock. They're not on the clock just yet. They're about to be, and they're like, we're thinking of these two players. And it's amazing. I was sitting on the set of the draft the night that, you know, the Cowboys did draft Mozzie Smith. They were about to be on the clock, and the Buffalo Bills jumped in front of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
And Jacksonville allowed them to do that. Jacksonville traded out the pick. So we watched Trent Baalke on the phone with Brandon Bean basically say to him, because they had just already moved down as well, and they moved down a second time, that they wanted to get the left tackle, whose name escapes me, who tell me who Jacksonville did wind up picking, that everybody thought that the Buffalo Bills were coming up for the tight end. They didn't want the Bills to come up and take the guy that they were going to take at tackle on the spot. And you heard how Trent Baalke says to Brandon Bean, you're going to have to give me a little more information before I make this trade.
Jacksonville took Anton Harrison.
And the Cowboys, we all thought,
at 27.
The Buffalo Bills hopped up because we all thought with Dalton Schultz gone, they were going to take Dalton Kincaid mm-hmm. come heck or high water. And this documentary showed the conversation that the Cowboys were having while Trent Baalke was making this trade with the Bills. And they didn't mention the words Dalton or Kincaid once.
Oh, interesting.
Really?
They were not talking tight end at all. Mm. And I saw that last night, and I'm like, huh, okay. But they were talking about the tackle that the Jacksonville Jaguars took, or Mozzie Smith. And in the middle of this conversation, the Chiefs call and offered the 31st overall pick and other choices to move into the spot for the Cowboys, and Jerry Jones looks around the room and has a full-on conversation about how gutted they would be. I think the word he used was throat cut if they move down to 31 and don't get either of these two guys that they're discussing. And they stayed put and they took Mozzie Smith, and then the Jaguars, having no idea that the tackle that they wanted so badly almost got taken by the Cowboys. I'm just wondering if this documentary is going to show the Jaguars how close they were to not getting the player they got, and how the Bills hopped up in front of Dallas. Are they going to learn right here that Dalton Kincaid wasn't on the Dallas Cowboys radar screen?
I just say this.
Love that stuff.
It's on site now with Buffalo and Jacksonville because they tried to get over on us. So.
And the reason why I am bringing it up right now is the drafting of Deuce Vaughn by the Dallas Cowboys. We all saw the story when it hit.
Yeah, it was.
Because the Cowboys did have some, they always have cameras on Jerry and the microphone always. And the phone. And they do their draft coverage on their social media quite well and have for a long time.
We the best.
So we saw, you know, Chris Vaughn is a longtime scout for the Cowboys, and his son Deuce was falling in the draft, and the Cowboys wound up drafting him. The lead up to that moment, and then that moment itself, I'll tell you what, man. I've never in my 20 years of NFL Network and the 6 years, 7 years of ESPN on top of that, 27 years of being around the NFL in some capacity, I've never once had Jerry Jones make me cry.
Yeah.
This moment has all the feels, and it is unbelievable how they set it up and how this documentary unveils it and reveals it. I'm rooting for that kid, man. He's currently on the depth chart. They have three running backs on the depth chart in the fourth string position, and he's behind Ronald Jones, who's suspended. So I hope he makes it. I think he should, man. He is a playmaker. Dude's fun. Anybody who watched Kansas State football, you know.
I watched a few plays this preseason, which made you go, this kid has a spot on the roster for sure. And then, Rich, watching his dad make the call to him when he got drafted to ask his son if he wanted to come to work with him the next day, that was incredible.
That's chill stuff, man. Yeah. That's cool.
Wait till you see it in the documentary. It's pretty cool. And does Kansas State lead all time in having, you know, 5'7" and lower guys dominate?
Right.
Yeah, Marquise Noel in basketball.
Obviously, Darius Sproles.
Deuce Vaughn. It's pretty sweet. But I guess that's the way of saying, like, if Pollard's healthy, I'll be straight up with everybody. I've never seen Rico Dowdle run a football once. Malik Davis and Deuce Vaughn and Ronald Jones when he comes back. I mean, one of them gets hurt. You are going to be hamstrung.
Why wouldn't they even bring in someone like Leonard Fournette?
I don't know.
Who's still out there.
Kareem Hunt's still out there.
Yeah.
He seems a little Tony Pollard-ish. I mean,
time's running out.
That big bruiser.
But Fournette could run downhill, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Catch a few passes.
Anyway, this documentary is on Friday night, and Will Anderson being drafted is a significant part of it as well, because the first night, I mean, we were stunned when Arizona traded out and found out it was the Texans coming back to do it. Although, if I'm not mistaken, I think Daniel Jeremiah nailed that in his mock draft. Because he's DJ.
I would say he usually...
And him getting peed on by a puppy is part of this documentary as well.
Oh, it's in there?
It's a good moment. It's a good moment. Let's take a break. When we come back, Will Anderson himself, Alabama's Will Anderson Jr., now of the Houston Texans, coming up next. Let's talk about AG1, people, a new partner of the Rich Eisen Show, a daily foundational nutritional supplement that helps support whole body health. And if you're like me, then it's so hard to keep up with a supplement routine throughout your busy day when it comes with a bunch of products on top of it. So when you drink AG1, you notice an overall feeling of health. It can help support your mental clarity, improve digestion, focus. Drink it in the morning, drink it in the afternoon, before working out in the morning, before making your coffee, starting your day. Makes you feel unstoppable, ready to take on the day and anything that comes your way. If you want help taking ownership of your health, and of course you do, try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/Eisen. That's drinkag1.com/Eisen. Take ownership of your health right now. Check it out. drinkag1.com/Eisen.
NFL Sunday Ticket is now on YouTube and YouTube TV, which means that it just got easier to be an NFL fan, even if you live far away. Like, maybe you like the Bears, but you're hibernating in Panthers territory. But with NFL Sunday Ticket, your out-of-market team is never more than a short distance away. Specifically, the distance from you to your remote control. NFL Sunday Ticket, now on YouTube and YouTube TV. Go to youtube.com/presale to get $50 off.
Terms and embargoes apply. Offer ends 9/19. No refund. Subscription auto-renews.
All right, let's show you a clip right here on the Roku channel Friday.
Nice.
NFL draft, the pick is in. This is the moment in the documentary where Chris Ballard of the Colts is nervous as a cat, man, waiting to see if he's going to get Anthony Richardson and the Cardinals in front of them make a trade. Check it out.
They traded their pick. Did you see that, Dad?
There was a lot of tension when we got to the third pick and saw that Arizona made a trade. You're like, man, is this going to be somebody coming up to get a quarterback?
This one's the one that is Levis or Richardson.
The Colts have been patient. We'll find out if it pays off.
It's cut the tension with a knife.
Are you ready? Arizona has traded its pick. Houston is now on the clock. Good.
Houston's 112 from Cleveland.
Got it.
233.
Yep.
2024 first.
Yep.
2024 third.
Yep.
For 1-3 yep. and 4-105.
I got it.
All right, you guys.
All right. Hey, we have a trade.
Arizona.
Major news. A big time trade. The Houston Texans are trading up to number 3 with the Arizona Cardinals. So the Houston Texans, who just shocked all of us and took C.J. Stroud at 2, are back up again.
The Houston Texans have taken over this draft in Kansas City.
With the 3rd pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Houston Texans select Will Anderson Jr., linebacker, Alabama.
The pick is in on Friday night right here on the Roku channel. We just back here on the Rich Eisen Show just showed a snippet from the documentary I was just telling you about, the NFL Draft. The pick is in, a Roku original on the Roku channel on Friday. And understandably, you know, Chris Ballard of the Colts, the documentary was embedded with the Colts in their draft room. Very excited when he heard that the Cardinals had traded the pick to the Texans. When initially he heard the Cardinals traded the pick, he's just like, oh, God, somebody's about to take the quarterback I want. Then they found out it was Houston trading back up, and they'd already taken a quarterback. He knew he was in the clear to get Anthony Richardson. Yeah. But I'm just wondering if when it all comes down to it, will he be so happy when he sees Will Anderson Jr. heading towards Anthony Richardson, because that's who the Texans went to go get. Fascinating moment that could be playing out for years to come. And joining us on the Rich Eisen Show is Will Anderson. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm great. We just saw, you know, a behind the scenes moment of your drafting. How did it all play out for you on that draft night in Kansas City, Will?
Yeah, it was super cool, man. Like, for me, I was late to the news. Like, everybody else had already seen it, that they had, you know, traded the pick, whatever like that. And then, you know, it had traded late on the back, and I started to get a phone call. And so I was like, oh, they probably went with somebody else. And then they had said that Houston was on the clock, and Houston ended up calling me. But I thought they were just calling and like, you know, hey, like, we couldn't get you, but, you know, something like that. But then I seen that they had, like, traded up. So it was exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I've done this a while, Will, and I don't recall a team choosing second overall and then trading back up to get the 3rd overall pick. And I'm sure you just had to be stunned, right, that just like the rest of us.
Yes, I was just as shocked as the rest of the world.
So it was who was the one on the phone when you got it, the call?
D'Amico.
It was. What did he say to you?
He was like, walking to the Houston Texans, and we're taking you, and we're drafting you.
And, you know, obviously you've got a head coach with a defensive mindset for sure. And so that had to make him a happy camper with him being the new head coach. What has he imbued you with? What has he told you? How are you taking his coaching so far, Will?
Yeah, I'm taking it great. He does a really good job of connecting with all his players, making sure that they're good, you know, checking up on them and everything like that. And, you know, just letting them know that just be you, have fun, all about the ball, chase the ball and stuff like that. So it's been really exciting, you know, to get to play for Coach D'Amico. He's a great head coach. He does a good job of just connecting with us. That's one thing I can really say about Coach D'Amico. He knows the game. He's played the game, so it's easy for him to understand, you know, what we're going through and how to help us.
There was no Alabama talk in the initial conversation at all?
Oh, of course. You know, we had to get a roll tied in before we...
Okay. I knew there was something missing in this story, Will. I knew there was something missing because, I mean, that's got to be pretty cool for you too, right? You've got that in common.
Yes, sir, most definitely.
So how has your transition from one level to the other been so far?
It's been good. I think Alabama did a really good job of preparing us for this next level, you know, just making practice 10 times harder than, you know, what it is in the league. You know what I'm saying? So just and how to practice. I think one thing that coach always talks about is practice like a pro and just being able to practice like a pro and be able to stay up off the ground and stuff like that and just work technique and work your hands and stuff like that. It's kind of been a really great transition.
All right, hold on a second. Because I just picked something up there. Are you saying Alabama Crimson Tide practices are tougher or more strict or stringent than National Football League practices?
100%.
How so?
Just the intensity is the same, but I would just say as far as like the number of plays and reps and everything you get, and I think it's just Coach Saban, the way he runs practice. You know, we do a lot of good on good periods, and sometimes it's tackle, and it's just physical. You know what I'm saying? It's real physical, and it's just it's different. That's all I can say. Like, you got to actually be in there to see it.
So have there been times during training camp or Houston Texans practices where you're like, oh, I got this because I had it like that in Alabama?
Most definitely.
Huh. Okay. So Saban did get you ready, or SEC football did get you ready, or just college, the way that things are run. What has then been the more difficult transition for you so far then, Will?
Difficult? I wouldn't say anything's been really difficult. I think like all the coaches and the players, the vets, they've been doing a really good job of setting an example for the younger guys and all the rookies, including myself, on, you know, how to go about your day and just find a routine. I think the biggest thing has just been the routine, just because, you know, in college, you have a routine, you got school, class, tutoring, and now you just got all ball. You don't have to worry about class. So just trying to find a great routine for yourself.
How have you found one?
Luckily, I wake up early. But like I said, like just watching the older guys and, you know, the routine that they do, I'll probably like add some stuff that they do, or, you know, get with the nutritionist, get with the, you know, training staff, coaches, and watch, see how I can watch them during this time, when I can get treatment during this time, and when can I eat this time.
What time do you wake up in the morning?
I wake up about 5:30 every morning.
Okay. And then what do you do at 5:30? What do you got? Walk me through your day.
5:30?
Yeah.
I just go through my normal routine. You know, I pray and everything like that. Get ready to head up to the facility.
So have you walked in and you're the first one in? Has that happened yet?
No. It's a lot of great athletes here and a lot of great people here that want to be great too. And I think when you have a place like that where everybody's always on time, everybody's early, and everybody, you know, is always at the facility early, I think that makes a really great team.
What was your first preseason action like, Will?
It was good. It was fun, you know, just to go out there with the guys again and, you know, just to go out there and do what, you know, Coach has been saying, to just swarm, everybody get to the ball and just be with a team again and be able to play under the lights again. It was really fun.
And you bagged a quarterback, didn't you? Right? Did you get?
Yes, sir.
You got one? Who'd you get, Will? Who'd you get?
Miami Dolphins.
Okay. So did you get? Yes, sir. You didn't get Tua, right? Because you don't do that to another Alabama guy, right?
Nah.
Okay. I was trying to see. Did you get Skylar Thompson? Is that who you got? Did you bag him?
I believe so.
You sacked him up. So. You bagged him up. All right. What was that moment like for you?
No, it was surreal. You know what I'm saying? You know, I got to give a big credit to the rest of the line because, you know, without them, you know, we all have to rush as one, and they did a really good job, especially the interior guys, getting pushed and, you know, penetration and stuff and knocking them off the path of the pulling guard to make me, you know, free up and go get a sack. So it's all a, you know, work and effort up front. You know, it's four guys rushing to become one. So I just like, it's just a, you know, really great to have those guys in the room with you and keep building with that and, you know, building that D-line chemistry that we all can eat.
Right, and if Tua had thrown you the football as opposed to your teammate, as he did to start the game, would you have been tackled by Tua, Will?
Oh, no, it would have been a touchdown.
Okay, I just want to understand. I just want to make sure that's all straight. Will Anderson, Jr., the Houston Texans, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. What can you share with me about C.J. Stroud's readiness, Will?
Yeah, he's been doing a really great job. You know, he's taking it one day at a time. He's building chemistry with the offense, of course, the O-line. They look really great. CJ's just a down-to-earth guy. He comes to work hard every day. You know, football means a lot to him. So, you know, I have no doubt in CJ. He's going to be ready. And I'm super happy, you know, to call him a teammate, a brother, and a friend. So I'm excited for him.
Well, I you know, obviously it's a quarterback-driven league, and you've been brought on to make sure that there's no quarterbacks driving against the Texans. But you two, back-to-back, as we've established in this draft, C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson, the two of you are going to be a foundation, one would think, for D'Amico, Ryans, and the Texans if everything works out. Do you have these conversations with C.J., like literally verbalize it at all, Will?
You know, sometimes we don't like really get into all that. I think the most thing is just having each other's back, knowing that we got each other, knowing that, you know, if he's ever going through something, I got him. If I'm ever going through something, he got me. And we just keeping each other level-headed, you know, through this process, you know what I'm saying, and making sure that there's no pressure. And we both just go out there and have fun, making sure that we're doing what we do since we've been little kids. And I think those have just been the conversations.
Who have you met throughout this process so far, whether it's from an OG from the Texans organization or anyone in Houston, you know, name drop for me that you've gotten a chance to chat with or meet to talk ball or just anything? Will, you got one?
Yeah, me and JJ, we had a really nice conversation. You know, we talked a few times. You know, he's been great giving me advice, letting me know if I ever need anything, you know, just to reach out to him. And, you know, we can watch film together and stuff like that. So he's been one guy that's, you know, been very supportive and helpful.
All right, now I need more information. What did JJ tell you? Can you let me in on that, please? JJ Watt, Will.
Yeah, he was just saying, like, you know, just good luck with everything. He's happy that I'm here. Like I said, like, if I ever need help with anything, that he's here for me. He'll be down soon so we can get some work in, watch film, and, you know, cut up some stuff like that.
Are you going to take him up on that? Or are you already
have? Of course.
Well, when? Have you done it yet?
No, not yet. He hasn't been down here yet.
Okay. Yeah, I saw. He was, you know, he's in Paris. I saw. He's totally retired. I mean, he's tapped out. He's done.
Yes, sir.
But he's locked in with you. That's pretty cool. That is pretty cool. That is absolutely exactly the definition of cool. How do you, in just a few minutes left with you, Will Anderson of the Texans, how do you respond to people that, okay, the Texans drafted second overall for a reason last year, and, you know, we could just overlook them? You know, we're talking, it's a Jaguars division, maybe the Titans. We're talking about the Colts so much because of what's going on with Jonathan Taylor, and the Texans are kind of an afterthought. I'm not going to lie to you. How do you respond to that?
Well, I mean, we can only control what we can control. We can't control what other people have to say about us, you know what I'm saying? And I think that's been, like, the biggest focus this year has just been, we're all we got, we all we need, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're focusing on us. We're just going to keep building our team chemistry, you know, keep, you know, getting the leaders in here, you know, getting the rooks up the park and everything like that, and just building that team chemistry. I think that's one of the biggest things is, and then the rest can handle it. So, but for right now, I feel like we're just focused on ourselves. We're not really worried about the outside noise, and we're just going to continue to keep building and being great.
All right, Will, before I let you go, Will Anderson, let's visualize you and I together, okay? Let's visualize. It's week one. You're in the locker room in Baltimore, Maryland. You hear the crowd inside M&T Bank Stadium going nuts. What's going through your mind at that point in time for your first professional football game? What do you got for me? What's happening?
Honestly, probably just going out there and just being myself. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't overdo it. You know what I'm just saying? Just been doing everything that you've been doing in training camp, leading up into this moment, everything that you've been doing right. You know what I'm saying? I think that's what's just going to be going through my mind and stuff like that. You know, not making it bigger than what it is and just making sure that I'm homing on my technique and my discipline. And those are the really two biggest things, just being disciplined and not trying to go do too much. So it's going to be fun. I'm super excited to go out with the team. You know, I'm super ready to see, you know, us go out in action for the first time, especially with Coach D'Amico as a head coach. He's been doing a great job. Staff been doing his really great job. And the players, of course, we've been working our butts off. So just to be a part of this is a big blessing, and I'm super happy, and I don't take anything for granted.
All right, and then you're out there. You're out there. You make your move. You make a move. Whatever yours. What's your favorite move? Give me a favorite move. What do you got?
I can't tell you all my secrets, man.
So let's just make you make a Will Anderson move that caused you to be the third overall pick. Texans went to go get you, and you make this move, and standing right there is Lamar Jackson, and the only thing between you and Lamar is grass. What happens then, Will? What happens?
I gotta go take the upfield shoulder and make the play, man. Just do what I'm coached to do. Take the upfield shoulder and make the play.
Make the play. All right, and because, you know, this is Lamar's big day. He's got that bag now. He's got the bag, but you're there. Just nothing between you and him but grass. You go make the play is what you're saying.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Did that help? Did that visualization help at all for you?
Yes, it did. I was looking at it in my head.
Okay. That's it. You think of me when you make that play.
I
know. There you go. You know what? In the middle of your first big play, you just go, hey, I'm going to give a shout-out to Rich Eisen. I'm going to do that. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's do that.
Yes, sir.
This is the beginning of a beautiful friendship, Will. Thanks for the time again. I appreciate you coming on. Congrats on all your success to this point, and can't wait to see that first game in Baltimore. That'll be fun.
Yes, sir.
You take care of yourself. Thanks for the call, Will. You be well.
Thank you. No problem.
You bet. That's Will Anderson, Jr. It's him versus Lamar. Let's go. Put up their schedule. Let's talk Houston Texans football.
Is he off the phone?
Stop it. Stop it.
Brockman. What?
Don't be that guy. You don't have to be that guy. Don't be that guy.
I'm trying to be honest, Rich.
I understand you can be honest. But here you go. First up, Will Anderson.
You don't even know what I was going to say.
Hold on a minute. I know what you're saying.
We have an idea.
This is insignificant. But the reason why I'm doing this, Will Anderson versus Lamar. Will Anderson's first home game is against the quarterback that was taken right after him.
That's fun.
That the Colts were celebrating the fact that the Texans were, they didn't care who the Texans were coming up to get. It just wasn't going to be another quarterback that they wanted.
I smell what's more likely that week.
Then he's trying to take down Trevor Lawrence. Week four, Kenny Pickett best not fake slide because Will Anderson's come get him.
Can you do that in the NFL?
You can.
I know they banned that.
Well, you can't
college,
do it in college.
Right?
College, you can.
Well, I think you're getting my point. This is what is happening. Week eight, look at week eight. His old teammate, his buddy, Bryce Young, he's going to try and bag him up.
I think he's going to get a couple.
Joe Burrow's in front of him week 10. Is Kyler back week 11?
Oh, for sure.
And then a second crack at Trevor. Then is Russ. Oh, my God. Ew. The Jets' offensive line better be buttoned up. Aaron Rodgers, Tannehill, Deshaun Watson, Tannehill again, and Anthony Richardson again. He's going to be, he's got his work cut out. Those are some serious QBs he's going to be trying to take down. And that's what I was trying to talk about with the Texans schedule, Chris.
Oh, I thought you were going to play the win-loss.
No, no. Sorry. And again,
sorry.
Sometimes just let me play it out before you try and go in that default.
But I didn't even say anything. You just assumed I mean, I was.
TJ, I always turn to you as the voice of reason.
Yes, of course.
You know what he was going to say.
As a betting man, I would bet that. You know, I thought I knew where he was going to.
Oh,
go
I thought as a betting man, like what's the on your little gambling site? What is it? Four, five, over
Texas
under?
Win totals?
Yeah, what is it? Texas win totals.
Little gambling site.
My guess is probably like 4.5.
What do you got?
Loading.
5, 5.5?
6.5.
Well, look at him going on a register on 6.5.
That's a little shocking. I got to be honest.
I looked at that schedule and I saw 5 at most.
Dude, they got two of the best college players of the last 2-3 years. Period. End of story. Will Anderson was discussed as a first overall selection two years ago.
He was in the Heisman running.
Right, correct. Yeah. And C.J. Stroud, you know, take away the games against Michigan, and he's dynamite.
Oh, boy. This guy.
Oh, boy. Endorphins are flying, guys. The endorphins are flying.
He was the best player on the field against Georgia.
C.J. Stroud was dynamite. He almost had him in the national championship game. I know.
So.
I get it. And they probably would have had a better game against TCU than my school. All right. You don't have to say, is what I'm saying.
Just
is the ultimate headline of this entire conversation since we hung up with Will Anderson.
You think 6.5 is good? You going over
that? Oh, I don't know. I don't do these things. You know I don't do these things. You do those things. I don't do these things.
He doesn't understand these things.
Oh, my gosh. I just heard that some of the best words in my ear from Mike Hoskins, our coordinating producer.
Oh,
when you go to break, tease Salty Tua.
Oh!
And if I had a guess, it's based on he threw the first pass of the preseason game directly to the Texans.
It was really bad.
And then made a tackle and threw his friggin' head into the tackle. Come on.
I don't know about you, but that looked like money.
Can we not do that? Can we not do that?
Didn't look like money.
If I had a guess, somebody asked him about that.
Oh.
And then we'll see if I'm right. I don't know.
Now I can't wait.
I'm just calling my shot.
Now I can't
bottom line, Salty Tua. Oh, baby. Ian Rappaport, Hour 3. That's all coming up right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Between the kids being home and hosting, everything in our house gets used up in summer. With Instacart, I can save money by stocking up on all my favorite summer brands. I save time by getting everything delivered in as fast as an hour. And I save myself a sink full of dirty dishes by stocking up on paper plates for the annual summer cookout. Save more on summer essentials? Spend more time enjoying summer. Add summer to cart. Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you currently enjoying this show on the Stitcher app? Then you need to know Stitcher is going away on August 29th. Yep, going away, as in kaput, gone, dead. Rest in peace, Stitcher, and thanks for 15 years of service to the podcast community. So switch to another podcast app and follow this show there. Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
What's the most pissed off you made Nick Saban ever?
Oh, when I took the sack second and 26 in a national championship. Game. Yeah.
You mean the one that you immediately made up for with an amazing play puts you on the map?
Yeah.
That sack?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was the sack.
So walk me through how that, what he said to you, if you can, in a certain way on a live radio, TV broadcast.
I mean, I could only see it on camera, you know, how mad he was. That was probably the most pissed off, though, I think he's ever been. I mean, he was squeezing his headset so hard. And then, you know, like, it was hard because the emotion was, like, so mad to so happy, you know, so fast for him. And, you know, we got into the locker room when everything settled down. I mean, he was still the same coach, you know. Yeah. He put me to the side. Like, what were you thinking, you know?
So like, after you won the game,
mm-hmm.
and you picking confetti out of your hair, he still took a moment moment to revisit that sack.
Yeah, being who he is, I mean, you know, he pulled me to the side. And he said, you know, why did you take the sack?
Right.
You know, and I thought it was a good time to joke with him, you know. So I mean, we won the national championship. So I told him, well, you know, we needed more room to throw the ball, coach. You know, and, like, he looked at me, and, like, I was laughing. He's like, that's not funny. I didn't know what else to do in that situation. I was like, okay, I'm sorry, coach. So I shook his hand, and he just moved on. I was like, oh. Like, oh, man.
That's amazing.
I love that story. Yeah. That made me my favorite story the whole week. So you just figured, yeah, hey.
I was like, oh,
we
maybe.
Just won it?
Yeah. Thought it was a good time to joke, but it wasn't.
Wow. Yeah, nope. It's never a good time, I guess, in that respect. And 3 months later, he was a Miami Dolphin. That was at the Super Bowl in Miami back in the day. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Ian Rappaport will join us in 15 minutes time, top of hour number 3. On this show, what is going on with Jonathan Taylor and the Colts? And who could the trading partners possibly be for him? We talked about Miami earlier today, right? A lot of folks, when we had Breer on yesterday, he was at the Indianapolis scrimmage with Philadelphia, and he mentioned the Dolphins and the Bears. A lot of people are saying those are the teams with cap potential desire to go get him. And, you know, the running room there is very former 49er heavy. Raheem Mostert, right?
Yep.
And Jeff Wilson Jr. are currently on the top two of their depth chart. But really, it's the passing game there that makes things go. Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. And then, of course, it's the man behind center, front and center, Tua Tagovailoa. And we've said multiple times here on the show, just to repeat it again, the best Tua is salty Tua. Showing that he's got a salty side to him. A competitive edge to him. And this is salty Tua. I had no idea Ryan Clark said this on ESPN. The reigning, by the way, best studio analyst.
Emmy.
Yeah, he's got an Emmy. And Ryan Clark.
What did he say?
Said on ESPN, quote, of Tua, he wasn't in the gym, I'll bet you that. He might have spent a lot of time at the tattoo parlor.
Oh, geez.
But he wasn't at the dinner table eating with a nutritionist.
Uh-oh. Did he just call Tua fat? Because that was on Hard Knocks last night. Mike Williams called Quinnen Williams fat. Mike Evans called Quinnen Williams fat, and that was kind of weird.
Doesn't sound like a compliment.
Yikes.
Nice.
This was brought to Tua's attention.
Oh boy.
Today.
Oh, yeah. I don't know about you, but that looked like money.
It's Salty Tua.
He had some criticism about you, saying that you didn't hit the gym in the off season. You didn't follow nutritionist advice.
Yeah.
If he were here, what would you say to him?
I mean, he probably knows more about me than I know about myself. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Ryan's been out the league for some time, so I don't know. It's a little weird when other people are talking about other people when they're not that person. So I don't know, it's just a little weird. I come back, like my background is, like I come from a Samoan family, like respect is everything, but you know, does get to a point where, hey, you know, little easy on that, buddy, because, you know, I think we're pretty tough-minded people, and if we need to get scrappy, we can get scrappy too, just saying.
How hard did you work in the offseason?
I mean, I think we all worked hard throughout the offseason. And I'm not someone to talk about myself the entire time, but I mean, it takes a lot. You think I wanted to build all this muscle? Like, not to some extent. Like I wanted to be a little lighter. There's a mixture of things that people don't understand, that people don't know about, that are talked about, that go behind the scenes. So, you know, I'd appreciate if you kept my name out your mouth. That's what I'd say. I don't know about you, but that looked like money.
All right.
It's Salty Tua.
Okay, now hold on. He's getting there. He's getting close. Tua, you're still too nice. Got to be yourself. I get it. He's got to be himself. He is who he is. It's his upbringing. I totally get it.
Respect.
All that, the nice, I mean, like his initial answer, he's like, he's been out of the league a long time. I feel you.
He's like, look at the line. Where's the line?
Tua, he called you fat. Okay?
He's big boned.
He's body shaming Tua. Is that a good fantasy team name? Body shaming Tua?
That's not positive.
By the way, that was the worst, back in my day, worst ESPN2 workout show. Body shaming Tua. It's terrible.
Well, body shaping.
Thanks, Mike.
Jeez, Mike.
Yep. We know what he meant.
Mike, just be quiet. Just Google Denise Austin or her daughter and just be quiet.
DePriest.
It's Keanu Tom.
Hey.
Gilad.
And DePriest.
Tua.
Gilad.
He's body shaming you.
Yeah, Brockman, like, yeah.
All right? And I like the whole, you know, Ryan's been out of the league for some time. Like, I thought we were just.
Nice, we're getting there.
Go from that. Let's edit together. Ryan's been out of the league for some time. I appreciate if you kept my name out of your mouth. That's what I'd say. And get rid of all the other stuff.
All the niceness.
He talked about building muscle.
Whatever.
I don't know.
Whatever.
I was trying to get a little lighter. Nobody cares.
Whatever.
Tell him to shut up.
Yeah. Ryan's been out of the league for a while. I appreciate it if you kept my name out of your mouth. That's what I'd say. And leave it at that. So
acknowledge me.
I'm after this conversation, a little hesitant to talk about his diet. More salt. More salt. More salt.
Would that make him bloated?
And I know that it changes who he is and the guy that he is and his DNA and all of that stuff. He body shamed Tua. What's up? What's up with that?
What are we doing?
Again, I don't know the I don't know the context. You know. Oh man! And by the way, week one at Justin Herbert's house. I mean, the two guys who are attached.
Oh right! Yep.
Back to back at the draft forevermore. Herbert with MVP talk. Tua had some MVP weeks last year, and he did. He did. Let's go. Week one. 2 weeks from Sunday.
That's the next
just
game.
Up the road.
Damn.
Chargers hosting Tua. Let's go. And if I'm Mike McDaniel and I need a light of fire under my quarterback, I'll say, get out there, fat ass.
Wow. Come on.
Wow.
Tua led the NFL in passer rating and yards per attempt last year.
Dude, he was really, really good. The guy that Mike McDaniel, the guy that Mike McDaniel FaceTimed with after he got the gig, you know that famous video of him on the PJ, right?
Yep, yep.
Saying we're I'm, and everyone thought, well, he's gone. Mike's gonna get rid of him.
Nope.
Nah. Quick passing game. Boom, boom. Let's go. Let's go.
Their quick game does not suck.
Stay upright. That's it. And just envision when, you know, you want to beat your opponent, just imagine. That's Ryan Clark's face. Oh, see. Fantastic. Well done, Mike Hoskins. This is what I'm this is my message for you, Tua. Do this. This.
I don't know about you, but that looked like money.
It's Salty Tua.
He had some criticism about you, saying that you didn't hit the gym in the offseason. You didn't follow nutritionist advice.
Yeah.
If he were here, what would you say to him?
I mean, he probably knows more about me than I know about myself. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Ryan's been out the league for some time, so I'd appreciate if you kept my name out your mouth. That's what I'd say.
I don't know about you, but that looked like money.
Right?
It's Salty Tua.
Tighter. That's nice.
Wouldn't that be better?
But then it shouldn't even add all of that. It just
economy
came
of
out
words.
With it.
Economy of words. Less is more.
Less is more. Tight.
Like keep.
Except more salt so is much. Not less. So more much. Salt is more.
So much salt.
You're welcome, Tua. Just trying to be helpful. Ian Rappaport coming up. Right?
Right.
Wouldn't that be better?
Better.
Great job, Mike Hoskins. And
speaking of
we got Bowie in there, Monaco, right? We got three guys out there getting it done.
It's a man room. Rich, you're on the clock.
Got to get some ventilation in there.
You're on the clock if you want to make a pick.
I'll do it.
There we go.
I'm doing it right now. Let's see if he's still there. I will hit refresh. And go to my queue. He's still there.
You still have 7.5 hours, so there's no rush.
Yeah, that's true. Ooh, who'd you take?
I took Mostert.
Raheem Mostert.
Just keeping the whole. That's a need pick and a content pick.
Well done.
Because we're talking Dolphins.
You want to see if
he could be he? What? And by the way,
you want to see if Max is in a meeting?
I'll find out. I'll find out in 4 minutes from Ian Rappaport if Mostert's going to be a Colt or a second stringer.
Yeah. Right. He could be a Colt starting running back here.
I don't know.
In a couple days.
Mostert looks like money.
I just saw a picture on Instagram that had Jonathan Taylor in the starting lineup of the Cowboys with Dak and Tony Pollard.
Now you're in.
And now guys, I got to be honest, I wish I hadn't seen it.
Yeah.
My heart started to flutter a little bit.
The photo when Zeke got drafted that somebody put together? It was him, Witten. Dez and Romo? Was Romo still there?
When he got drafted? Yeah.
Yeah. That was somebody put him in that Photoshop.
Man.
You just got a whiff of that.
No, I want it. I need it.
For over 3 decades, nobody has had a wrestling career like Arn Anderson. Conrad Thompson gets all the stories with Arn.
After watching AEW's Double or Nothing, Amy wants to know, what does dinosaur taste like?
It ain't chicken. It's like biting into a sinewy charcoal briquette.
Ah.
But chewy.
Oh, like wow, that's disgusting.
Yeah, sure is.
Check out Arn every week, wherever you listen.